This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibenomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibenomics.com. And now, from the Vibenomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Another exciting edition of the Adam Ritz Show. My name is Adam Ritz. This is Public Affairs on Steroids. We like to talk about issues in philanthropy and community service, health and safety. And today we have a special guest in studio, Carly Oakley. Hi, Carly. Thanks
Hello.
For joining me.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Friend of the show. We've had you on in the past to discuss health with your amazing story of a kidney transplant. We do have that episode in podcast form. If you're listening and you'd like to go back and listen to that full episode, we talk about kidneys or Carly's kidney transplant. We talk about kidneys, Carly transplant too.
And it was so just 3 years.
Just super quick. How's that going?
Good. It was 3 years. Thanksgiving week that I've had Jenny's organ.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You look fantastic. You are fantastic. You. And we continue to wish you success in the world of kidney transplants. But you're here today to talk about the 811 Foundation, which you are the executive director of. Is that a correct title? I made it up.
Yeah, sure.
Executive director of
I don't care about titles.
811 Foundation.
Yeah.
811foundation.org. Spell out the numbers, 811foundation.org. You are the chief branding officer of the 811 group.
That's correct.
And so super quick, we're going to talk about a foundation event you had that I was honored. You asked me to be the co-MC slash auctioneer at your live auction.
You did great.
And it was fun. We talked about it on the show with my other co-host who's not here today, Jay Baker. And we talked about that live auction and how much fun I had doing it and how much money we raised. I wanted to have you on the show to talk about the exact amount, and that's why you're here today. So we're going to talk about the money that you raised for 811 Foundation and what that money goes for, what 811 Foundation does. So before we get to that, tell me what 811 Group is.
Yeah, 811 Group is the parent of a family of companies, all of staffing and consulting nature. So BrookSource is our biggest of the three, and it is IT staffing and consulting. Metasource is healthcare staffing, and we just started a nurse staffing division in that as well. And then Calculated Hire is everything but those two. So back office, marketing, sales, accounting, finance, graphic design, anything of that nature that's not in the technical arena is what Calculated Hire focuses on.
So let's say you're a graphic designer. Yes. And you're out of work.
Yeah.
Would you contact 811 Group for
you would contact Calculated Hire, specific division.
Okay.
And we have a team of recruiters that work on resume prep, mock interviews, everything like that, and get you ready for an interview with one of our clients, and then we put you to work.
So one of our clients, who are they, and how did they find out who Calculated Hire is?
Yeah, our clients are any companies that need help staffing in their current position that they are trying to fill, or they've got a big project and they're wanting help doing that project. So oftentimes they will use us for one of those three divisions to fill a role of a big project they're doing, and then they end up really liking the contractor, so they might keep them on for another project, or they hire them on their own staff to work directly for them.
And just a layman's look at this industry that you're in, the way I understand it, and for our listeners that aren't familiar with staffing, the staffing industry, these companies would rather pay you, commission you, to help them find qualified applicants and employees than for them to do it on their own. If they did it on their own, they'd spend more time and money and resources to try to find those applicants.
Yeah, that's part of it. Also, we're specialized in those areas. So we are always deep diving in the latest trends. We're always recruiting people in those areas. So we're very specialized in those three brands, where we are constantly finding the best of the best talent. And we've got them at our fingertips so that they can easily walk in the door in our clients.
Helping Americans get to work.
That's right.
It's 811 Group. And the foundation, the charitable arm of the company, is oddly enough called 811 Foundation. And that's where I come in. So thank you for having me MC or co-host or auctioneer, I guess, be the live auctioneer, which, by the way, I was co-live auctioneer with you.
Well, that wasn't the intention, but I got really excited that night and decided I just wanted to yell at people to get more money.
Oh, the intention was for me to do the whole thing?
By yourself.
By myself?
Yeah.
And then,
I just got really excited.
Well, from the start, I knew that we were going to co-do it. I had
You know I can't keep my mouth shut.
I had no doubt that you were going to have a microphone right next to me. Okay, so the event, we'll get to the event in a second. Let's talk about the foundation. What does 811 Foundation do?
Yes, the 811 Foundation, I launched that 2 years ago, really with the thought process of a mind of helping people, education, and communities. So we have three pillars. The first one is the people of 811. So in a time of a catastrophe or a hardship in our employees' families or their lives or their kids' lives, we are there to help them pull out of that tough time, whether it be by support in different ways or monetary support. So we've had a number of different situations, of which I've said from the beginning that I wouldn't talk about specific situations. That's not my story to tell. Amazingly enough, there's been so many people come forward that have wanted to tell that story of what we gave money to or how we supported them, which has been really great. But we do a ton of different things within the People of 811 pillar. The second one is community service, and it's really encompassing giving back in the spaces and the communities of which you live. And we have 38 brick and mortar offices nationwide. And so that net is casted really, really wide. We are based here in Indianapolis, but we service all of those different cities that I mentioned, and even beyond that, if there's interest there. We do give to national organizations. We have a quarterly impact every single quarter that we give a percentage of what comes in that week from our spread, basically the money that comes in from all those consultants that I talked about. One week a quarter, we give that back to an organization. However, if it's such a big organization, think Special Olympics, right? Such a large charitable arm. We are very specific about where that money goes. So when we did the Special Olympics one quarter, we had each office write their involvement with Special Olympics in their particular city, and then we gifted very specifically to those cities who were already involved with the chapters. So we very much focus on not just a monetary donation, but giving of our time and our space and our energy along with that financial donation. So that's the community service piece. And the third pillar is education. A big reason why that was important to us when we launched was we are hiring people. Our model internally is to hire people predominantly directly out of college and help them build not only their professional lives, but their personal lives alongside our company. And so a big part of the education piece for me was starting that at a younger age and giving people the ability to see what a work environment was from a much younger age than just an internship your senior year of college. So we partnered with Cristo Rey Networks nationwide. They oddly also have 38 brick and mortar locations, and they happen to be in every single one that we're in.
No kidding.
Yeah, which is super cool. And so I got introduced to Fred Yakey, who was in charge of partnerships at the local one here, which is called Providence Cristo Rey. And what I found was the students, and it was such an interesting concept to me, the students are brought in basically from a level of if they're family situation dynamic was that they might not get a great education, or maybe their family members didn't go on to get a higher education. They are trying to give that to these kids. And so they sign a contract that they are coming into Providence Cristo Rey every single day in a uniform. They are academically, they have to stay at a certain standard. And then they actually come to, for example, 811 Group or any other company, 1 day a week, and they are an intern 1 day a week. But that starts as early as their freshman year in high school. So I've got 14-year-old kids that are working at our building through the week, which is super, super cool. So their bus drops them off in the morning. They pick them up at the end of the day, and that is their school day. So they are learning firsthand what it's like to work in a work environment at a young age of 14 or 15.
Do they go to the conference room and get yelled at by the general manager of that location? I mean, that's really how it works.
I know.
That's a job.
Well, it's interesting because obviously they don't know anything at that point, right? And they haven't gone through college to get the here's how you like behave in an internship. So I have to remind our employees often when they're managing them, they've never been given, they have no preconceived notions here. So if they're picking up their phone and they're on it, they don't know that they shouldn't be doing that. So,
I mean, 24-year-olds don't know
right.
that.
So you're here to coach them and be a mentor and be that person that when they go out and get a job, they're talking about how much they learned from you. So that's been really cool. This is our second school year doing it. So our first school year, we launched last January. So in January of 2023. And when we launched, I had told Fred that I would be willing to commit to one student because I didn't know how much we could raise, you know, in that first year. Mm-hmm. We ended up being able to do four students that first year, which was really cool. So that means we are paying for the tuition for these four students to go to school, get an education, and then they're coming to 8-11 group one day a week. This year, this school year has been such a huge blessing. We were able to do five local kids. So they're for the Providence Christo Rey here in Indianapolis. And then we have three in other markets. So we have one in Philadelphia, one in Minneapolis, and one in Tampa. So the students go into those markets locally and work there.
Okay. This is, I love this because I sort of knew this. I mean, from doing your live auction, I wasn't going to do it without knowing what we were doing and who it was helping. But I thought we were raising money to get these 14-year-olds the internship. The money raised paid for their education, their entire school year, which also includes the internship.
You got it.
So the school, and I'm not familiar with Christo Rey. That's the school?
The school
it's
name.
It's kind of like a charter school?
Yeah, the school those, name is Christo Rey, and those are national. It's just the one here locally is called Providence Christo Rey. So they all have a little bit of different brand, but they're all under the same umbrella, and they function very much the same. They all have little things that are different about their schools, but in all intents and purposes, they function the same way.
Is that K through 12?
No.
It's just high school?
Yep. So freshman through senior.
And uniforms.
And uniforms.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Do the kids like the uniforms?
Well, I'm sure they hate them, but here's the cool thing.
Best answer.
I'm sure they hate them, but here's the cool thing about the uniforms. When they come in, there's no kid that looks different or is perceived different than someone else. It's not that he has that sweatshirt or she has that cool pair of pants.
Yeah.
They are wearing the same thing, and they come in with zero background bias of anything, which is just building up the community that they came from. And the goal there is to spread that so that they continue to want to grow bigger, and that and thus that community that they live in becomes a more mature community, moving forward.
So the partnership with the Christo Rey schools, they have 38 locations,
yes,
and they are inside the 8-11 group brick and mortar buildings across the country.
They are in the same cities as all
same,
the 8-11.
Oh, not the same building, not in the same city.
That's right.
Okay, was that obviously by design, or are you telling me that's complete serendipity?
It was complete, and that's funny you use that word, because in my initial video to launch this, I say it was serendipitous when I met Fred Yakey, because I really struggled. One of the biggest things that I struggled with launching this foundation is I couldn't figure out how to have an education piece that felt narrow in scope that we could actually make a difference. And when I was introduced to him, and I loved the school locally, but I thought that really only helps here. How do I make that feel broader? And when we started talking about the other schools they had, we realized they were in the exact same locations as all of our other brick and mortar buildings, which is complete serendipitous.
I guess it's not that crazy if they're the top, 38 markets in the country. But I'm assuming that your locations are not in the top 38 markets. Give me one of the cities that's like, that makes this serendipity. One city on your roster that's like, there's no, oh, we probably have some, there's some Special Olympics in the top 100 cities.
Sure.
For sure.
Well,
but
when you think,
if you have a location in Jerkwater, Iowa,
right,
and you found out that there's a Crystal Race School there too,
right,
what's that city?
So here's what I think is crazy is Philadelphia, like I mentioned, they have an intern this year. And so part of each office had to send in a video as to why they wanted an intern in their office, how they were going to be able to support that intern, all of that. When you look at Philadelphia as a broad scope, I'm like, oh my gosh, is this even going to work? Like the likelihood of it not being an hour drive or a 2 hour drive,
yeah,
right? And the location's 10 minutes from our office, which is just really wild.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's so convenient for that child,
yeah,
to make its way to your office after school.
Well, during school. They're there during
Oh, it's during the
during the school day. Yeah. So it's it's at 8 to 3 p.m. internship all day. They're with us all day.
That is fantastic. No school lunch.
It's funny. They often say that. They get sent with a school lunch. They do get sent with a school lunch, but I would say the likelihood of those interns actually eating the school lunch is probably really slim.
And
they love Starbucks.
I bet. Okay. So you've been doing this 2 years.
Yeah.
So the youngest that you've had is now 16.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. We have to have you back on the show years from now. Well, obviously, I'm going to have you on before then. I have you on, it seems like, every 6 months. But the fascinating thing is going to find out your first round of 14-year-old interns in, 8 years when they're 22, what they're doing, where they are, and how much that first internship they had at age 14
made a difference. Yeah. My hope and goal with this is, and like I mentioned, we foster and nurture the development of humans, again, both professionally and personally. And so my hope and goal with this is that they intern with us their freshman year and they love it so much that they want to come back every year. They have the ability every year to say, I'd like to try a different internship or I'd like to go to a different company. Every single person, except for one who actually moved out of the school district, chose to come back. All the ones that we had last year chose to come back this year, which was really amazing. And then we added the new ones too. But my hope is when they graduate from Crystal Ray that we will encourage them for that higher education, mm-hmm, but they have a job here when they come back regardless of what it's in or what they're doing. They have a job with us and they can choose 38 locations to work in. And so also broadening their scope of a lot of these kids have never even left Indianapolis, for example, let alone the thought of, oh my gosh, Philadelphia or Tampa or, Minneapolis. And so giving them the ability to connect with students outside of their local market is also something that we're doing. So starting in the new year, so obviously they started school in August. And we got them through the first semester. Starting the new semester, they will have a buddy program with these other students while they're inside our four walls, where they will be able to meet and talk to these students that we have in the other cities.
This is getting better and better the more you describe this. So if they graduate. I was going to say if they go to college. So when they graduate from Crystal Ray.
Yes.
And they certainly can go anywhere they want, mm-hmm, to any university they want, as long as that's taken care of on their own dime or financial aid or student loan, whatever. And if they don't do that, they do have a job/career waiting for them inside the 811 Group 38 location company.
Absolutely. We'll find a place for them.
Is there any chance a 54-year-old man could start his freshman year at a Crystal Ray school?
I don't know. I'm having coffee with Fred tomorrow. You want to join me? You could ask him.
This is so much broader in scope than what I first thought this was. I thought we were raising money to get a kid an internship.
An internship. No,
this is life-changing.
Yeah, and that is the goal. The goal is to be able to take their preconceived notion of what a life is. We have a kid that is one of our interns currently, and his parents have a food truck. And he loves it. He talks about it all the time. We're actually going to bring the food truck next semester when it gets warm so that all of our employees can buy their lunch from that food truck. But that's what he knows. He doesn't know any different. And while I talked about the uniforms earlier, this is now his second year with us, and he sits with some of our sales guys that work for Brookshorse. He now comes in a suit and tie every single day because he wants the opportunity. If they ask him to go on a meeting, that he's ready, that he's prepared. He wants to do that, and he is pumped. And he wants to be a summer intern for us, and we can pay him then in the summer to be an intern. They're outside of, the Providence Cristo Rey contract at that point. And so he's going to work for us in the summer. And, it has really changed the landscape of what he thinks he's able to do mm-hmm. in society when he grows up.
How old is he?
He's 16.
He's wearing a suit and tie.
He's wearing a suit and tie.
I need to start dressing for the job I want, not the job I have.
Well, you kind of got the yacht rock thing going on.
Okay, so Carly Oakley is our guest. She's the executive director of 811 Foundation. Just a wonderful organization helping kids across the country. And I was honored to be her co-auctioneer at their recent, I will call it a gala event. It was pretty cool.
It was something that we had not done that before. That was our third event. And every year you've been to, that was your second event.
I've been, but I wasn't part of the show.
You weren't a part of it, yeah.
I wasn't a co-host or auctioneer.
Yeah,
but the event is, it's over the top.
We've switched it up this year, and we've switched it up every year, but I think this one might be sticky. We got really great feedback from the event this year.
So the one I went to the year before was at you rented out a restaurant.
Capri, yeah.
One of the best Italian restaurants in town, and there was a silent auction and a live auction. In the bar, you had a Sinatra-esque singer who really frightened me almost.
Because of how much he sounded like Frank Sinatra?
Because he was so good. Yeah. When I saw him, I thought he was a mobile DJ, like a wedding DJ, because he had a wedding DJ setup. He had the board and the speakers and maybe a couple of lights and a microphone and... He had this fedora on, and I'm like, oh, good, there's the DJ. But he's going to play old-time rock and roll from Bob Seger later. And I'm walking by to go to the pasta bar, and I hear Sinatra on the speakers, and it was feeding through the speakers of the restaurant as well, not only his speakers. But it sounded like Sinatra, and when I got closer to him to get to the pasta bar, I could hear him singing it from his mouth, not the speakers. And I'm like... Yeah, it scared me. I looked at him. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is singing this.
Yeah.
So you blew your Sinatra budget on having me co-host the next year.
Well, I don't know about that. But he was one of those.
I volunteered, by the way. I did not get any budget for this.
Well, you got lunch paid for.
I got a lunch.
You got lunch.
And I had some awesome brownies at the event and chocolate chip cookies. Those were great. Have those back. So it's a great event, gala event. It was in your building, brand new building, top terrace. What would you call
it?
It's a rooftop bar. Rooftop bar.
Actually, I'm not allowed to call it a bar.
A rooftop terrace.
It's a rooftop terrace.
A gathering place. Outdoor seating.
Yes.
There is a.
And we had the most beautiful night in October.
Was perfect. Yeah. And you had a band. I mean, there was a drum kit, which made a perfect little setup for us to do our live auction.
Yes.
So there was a silent auction.
There was.
When you add up the totals, we're going to talk about the totals raised for this event. Is it separated or is it just one price? Like, what did the live auction get? What did the silent auction get?
Yeah.
Are those divided up?
So they were, but I don't actually remember how that totaled together. But in totality, with the auction total, silent and live, we got $44,000. So really incredible. Really, really incredible. And we had some awesome items, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. And people just donate that to be a part of it, which is we're super grateful for.
And I am going to just assume, hopefully I'm right, that every year it's raised more money.
Yes.
So 44 is the current world record for
the auction.
811 Foundation auction.
Yeah.
We look to make more than that next year. I'm not inviting myself to be co-host with you, but I would love to come and contribute in any way
it.
I could.
Yeah.
So, and we'll inform our listeners on how they can get involved too, because while we did that live, I also talked about it on this public affairs show and put a link to your website if somebody wanted to learn more or donate.
I'll give you a code next year. Your listeners can have a code for,
even better.
Something off to come.
Okay, so we've got about 5 minutes left here.
Okay.
I wanted to describe, because I talked about it with Jay after we did it, the live auction we did, you introduced something I've never seen before. I was a little leery on doing it.
I know, when we prepped you.
We did a little pre-production meeting on how we were going to do the live auction, and you brought this up, and I was a little like, oh my gosh, people, this is going to be hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that hard to explain. I'm just not very smart, so I didn't get it that quick. But the audience did, and they loved it. It was so much fun. So super quick. We'll describe how it was done, but where did you saw it at another live auction?
I did. Actually, I saw it the week prior at the Providence Cristo Rey auction.
Oh,
and
okay.
The reason why they even had to do it this way is because it was when we had that terrible storm in Indiana. It was when all the hurricanes were happening and we had the terrible storm in Indiana. And the moment everyone walked into their gala, which is their biggest fundraiser, their electricity went out. And it never came back on.
And they were doing one of those live auctions that have an app or a website or a tally on on a video board.
Yeah. And they also do, and actually what gets the most money for them is a paddle raise at the end of, I just want to donate $100. I want to donate $1,000. And that's where they raise the most of their money, notoriously, at their events. Well, obviously, no one was seeing paddles in a dark gem, right? And so they did a flashlight raise. But what they did was, which was really cool, they were giving Pacers tickets and an autographed basketball. And they said flashlight raise. And so every time you raised your flashlight, you were giving that amount. So they started at $100. So, okay, Carly, if you would like to bid on the Pacers ticket and the signed basketball, you raise your flashlight for $100. Then once they see your number, you put your flashlight down. The goal is to be the last flashlight up and no one raises their flashlight after you. Well, so you think, you know, the goal is that you're hopeful that you're going to win it. So I would wait. Okay, going once, going twice, I'd raise my flashlight. Then somebody else would raise their flashlight. So this kept going on. They raised so much money, I was like, we've got to try it. But we put a spin on ours. So if you remember, ours was a mystery. So we had a blue Yeti cooler, and you didn't know what was in the cooler. And so every time we raised the amounts, we started at 100, then we went to 200. But every time we raised the amounts, we told the crowd one thing that was in there.
That was in the cooler.
Yeah. And then at the very end, we went through a $500 round, and then we were almost done with that. And then you and I told them that there was $1,000 cash
inside the $300 cooler
that also had
$2,500 worth of other stuff in it.
Totally.
This scenario, it's so fun. you could keep raising your flashlight on your phone 10 times and donate $1,000 to the charity and not win the cooler.
Right.
And the person next to you that hasn't bid anything all night could be the last one to raise their phone.
Because no one raised after
and win it for $100 bucks.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly the scenario, but I think the person that won it was maybe $600 or $700 in.
No, because the last run we did was $1,000.
Oh, the flashlight? Okay, so she won it for $1,000. She raised her phone once.
What? Yeah.
And the guy next to her was probably $3,000 in.
Totally.
And didn't win it.
That's right.
So she at minimum got her $1,000 back because there were $1,000 cash in the cooler, and she got the $2,500 of other stuff.
That's
and the $300 Yeti cooler.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic way to do a live auction. Email me if you want to learn more about how to do this for your live auction. My email's on the website, adamrichshow.com. Carly Oakley, thank you so much for joining me. We want to have you back on. As your foundation grows, as these kids grow, to find out more success stories with 811 Foundation, you can learn more at 811foundation.org. Thank you, Carly.
You're welcome. Maybe we'll bring a kid in next time. They can tell you about the experience.
Oh my gosh, that'd be fantastic.
Okay.
We will do that for sure.
Okay.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.